we go.
Hello.
Ooh, bad.
Who is that?
Wayne. I didn't make that noise now.
Wayne, I thought it was a new way of, never mind, I won't say it.
No, I didn't stick my tongue out and say
Is that David in Sedona on there?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Hi, David.
Hi.
Well, I don't know if we're on BBS or not. Are we on BBS? Hello, Seth. Anyone got their computer on to see if we're on?
I do.
Are we on?
I don't hear anything yet, no.
No. He said he was going to put me on. And he usually does 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, okay? And, Seth?
He's probably putting you off instead of on.
Putting me off. Hello, Seth. Hello, Seth. Calling Seth. Well, I wonder what I should do now. We're not on. Is Terry there?
Don't hear anything yet, no.
I don't hear. Seth?
You're on, Wayne, but it's like a 30-second delay.
Oh, I'm on?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, great. All right, well, I'd like to welcome everyone on BBS to our Monday night conference call and simulcast between the telephone and the Internet. And what we do on this call is nonlinear. Nonlinear. What does nonlinear mean? Do you guys know what nonlinear means? It means that there's no agenda. There's no me trying to entertain you. I'm just here and talking. And hopefully you're just there and listening. Because the idea is to get our holographic fields lined up so that we enter the same space of time. So this is not meant to be entertaining, although occasionally it falls into that. This has always been an experiment. We're doing something on these calls that is pretty unusual. Now, I will say that some of you listening will try to interpret it in a way that's familiar to you, and you'll cap the energy by doing that. And it's kind of very subtle, because we're talking about changing our reality boxes, and we're talking about moving into oneness, moving into connection, moving into a reference point of how it feels to be in another dimension while you have a physical body. And let me mute everybody here. And we have people checking in. And anybody want to say their name who just checked in?
This is Kathy. Are you recording this, Wynn?
Oh, I should record it on BBS, you mean?
Yeah.
You're not recording it?
For the playback line.
Okay, hang on. Oh, yeah, right.
To begin, this conference will now be recorded.
Okay, we're recording now. I'm so nonlinear, I can't remember what I'm supposed to do. Kathy's on, and David's on in Sedona, and who else is on that wants to say their name?
Mary.
Mary Ann and Wayne in South Orangeburg, South Carolina. You know, I know we have some regular listeners that are not in this country. There's a gentleman in England that emails me often that listens to the show. Pardon me?
Francis in California calling you.
Has Francis and Maya is there? Would you guys like to hear a penetrating voice? I say this kindly, Maya. Maya, say hello to everybody.
What are you requesting me to do?
Oh, I'm going to be in trouble. I said we're going to show people what a really penetrating voice sounds like. And I said, say hello.
Hello.
There we go. Maya was our guest of honor last week. And she's one of those people that's learning. Actually, hang on a second. I'm going to mute everybody for a moment.
All callers are muted.
She is one of those people that is learning how to move in other timelines. And one of the challenges is our minds, because our minds are always trying to understand what's going on. And we've spent all our life looking at things, analyzing them, and saying, this is a this, and this is a that, and this is a this, and this is a that. So then when you look at what's going on this call, there is the mind going, this is a this is a that, and Lynn is a this, and Terry is a that, and Terry is a channel, and Lynn is, I don't know what people think I am. I used to think I wanted to be a songwriter. But, you know, all of those ways are not who you really are. Each of us is an expression right now of divinity. Of course, I don't even like to use the word divinity because it sounds like it's religion, and it's not. Each of us is potentially coming from our deepest, truest source and moving through, and suddenly we're present. Well, some of you are listeners, but even listening, can you listen from your source? Can you listen from your heart? Can you listen from your spirit? Can you feel energy in your space? Can you feel energy in your body? Your body is like the tip of an iceberg. And actually, the iceberg, I don't know, you could say it goes up and down, but your body is just a middleman, a medium, and you are not your body. You are a point of reference in an energy field that your body is a vortex, a reference point for that energy into the world. Now, that's what you really are. Now, most people don't experience themselves that way. They experience themselves as a mind, a thinking mind. They think of themselves as feeling. They think of themselves as a body, a physical body. And how do we know that we are what I'm saying we are? How do we know that? Well, it's something that each person has to unfold for themselves and learn how to walk in the middle of the energy and never lose track of the energy. It's kind of like you sit at home and you meditate and you call in the light and you say, oh, this feels really good. I can feel the presence. I can feel spirit. And then you walk out the door, and you left the energy behind. And suddenly, you're in the middle of the freeway, and all your energies are going discombobulated, and you lost it. Now, Could you walk out the door and not lose it? Yep, you could. And one of the ways to learn how to do this is just to observe yourself. Learn how it feels to bring that energy in and anchor it. Learn how it feels. One of the things, of course, is we have ongoing communications with these sources that identify themselves by the name the Elohim and the Ra. And they describe themselves as group souls. But you know what? We think, when you think about it, you think they're far away. But they're not far away. They're close. They're right next to you. And are you open to them? Are you scared? Do you have things you do that you're ashamed of that, my God, if they looked at you, you'd say, oh, I don't want anyone to see that. It's like they don't really care. It's like all they care about is, are you hurting anybody? And, of course, they are you. They are part of you, a bigger part of you. And can you experience them as you? Can you be in this energy flow that connects to all that is, or do you feel separated and alone and needy and I want this, I want that, and I'm empty until I have this? I understand those things. I used to go through them. Sometimes I do now, but not so much anymore. And it's kind of like I'm on a training program to understand how to be in this flow. Now, if you really want to be in this flow, if you really want to anchor it, find a way to make somebody else be in the flow. Because when you do that, you start building an energy that's outside of this realm. Do you know, when you can do actions and create connection with just one other person, it's not based on anything in the physical, you now have something that's yours that is a connection that is not based on a commonality of interest in the physical. It's not based on being a husband. It's not based on being a wife. It's not based on a job. It's not based on companionship. Now, none of those things are bad. They're all good. But when all our energy is based on those outward connections with people, and then when they're not there, we feel empty, well, guess what? When you die, you don't have those kind of connections anymore. And your whole system wants to keep coming back and say, where's those things? And it wants to recreate them and find the love that almost never happened, or the riches that almost never happened or didn't happen, or the power or the Jaguar. Of course, in the future, it probably won't be called the Jaguar. It'll be called the Goonka Goon Goon Goonk, or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, all those things create a need for physical embodiment so you can experience them. So this whole call we're doing, in fact, the work that I've been doing for the last couple of years, and it's kind of as a result of all these conversations with these group souls where I started to see how this actually worked, is not really based on anything in the physical. It's like we are like coming together, and we're coming together not in the physical realm. We're coming together in other dimensions. And then we can download it in the physical, right? We're doing it in the physical right now. We're downloading it. I'm talking, you're listening. We have telephones. We have internets. And so it's got a physical representation to it. But the real creation of all this right now, right in this moment, is not in the physical. And there's a group of people that's been working closely with me on this, and we've been learning together, because I don't know how to do this. I mean, I've read all kinds of metaphysical things, but my mind doesn't know how to do this except just say, okay, I'm just going to be here, and I'm going to let whatever happens happen, and trust that the right words will get out of my mouth, and that the right ears will hear the words, and that somehow we are going to transcend the physical right now on this telephone call. And many of you out there are having that experience. And you know what? If you want to anchor that more in your life, pay more attention to what we're doing, because it's happening in everything that we're doing. When I say we, I mean there's people that have been working with me from almost day one of starting these conference calls, where I said, this is an experiment. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what I'm doing, but we'll just jump in and we'll see what happens. And those people that have been involved for a year to 2 years, I think everyone would say that they've had huge shifts, that things that seemed to be big obstacles went away. And not all of them. They're certainly not perfect. Neither am I. That's the thing. You don't have to be perfect to do this. In fact, if you're trying to be perfect, you'll probably fail, because you become too holding on to some image of yourself. Because this is about flow, about creating a flow and having all our energies come together on the flow, and not only that, having these group souls come together on a flow. And when you take this flow, and then I was having a conversation with my friend that I think the world has it wrong. Now, some people might disagree, so that's fine if you do, but it's my opinion that flow creates commitment. Commitment does not necessarily create flow. It might, but it's like when people keep coming back and people keep having a good time with each other and they feel connected and they feel a sense of accomplishment, and they say, well, I want to give more. This is great. I mean, this is fun. And it's like commitment is like, well, are you ready for a job? Are you going to do this? You know, it's like you lose the flow and you get into obligation. And obligation is the opposite to flow, okay? That means flow has to come from a constant free will choice. And if you're constantly making a free will and choice, you're in flow. And then it's easy to commit. The commitment is not even a commitment. It's just a continuation of a good time. Now, let's suppose you're in a place where you do have obligation. Some of you are married. Some of you have children. Those are obligations. Well, you know what? If two people are understanding the nature of flow, it's like you can still keep your responsibilities and then forget them, and then move into fun and joy and playfulness within the context. Listen, I have an obligation. I'm supposed to show up here on Monday at 6 o'clock Pacific time and do something. That's an obligation. And I've been doing it every Monday for a long time now. But you know what? The more I forget that I'm doing it, the more I get into flow and the more you get into flow. So it's like if you're married, that doesn't mean you're supposed to cheat on your spouse. That's not going to create flow, okay? But if you're married, learn how to forget that you're married. Did you ever notice, wonder why, when people are in the romance stage, that the energy is so good, why the guy feels so great, and the sex is so good, and everyone is starry-eyed. Why is that? Because there's no obligation. It's all free choice. You know, the woman decides when she's going to open up. The man is courting her, getting to know her. He's on his best behavior. And, you know, there's no expectation. So the energy is really, you know, in the best of circumstances. Of course, it's not always this way, but in the best of circumstances, in that romantic phase, the energy is usually really good. And then they think the illusion that pervades somebody's mind is that, God, if now they can own that good energy, they can own it, and if they own it, now they'll have it all the time. And in that sense of ownership, they lose it. So often, they lose it. And if you happen to be one of those people that's lost it, get it back. Give the other person unexpected gifts. Give it not out of obligation. Give it when there's no expectation. Get them used to the fact that when they're looking in the other direction, you're going to give them what they need. But when they're forcing it, you won't. And so train each other to be spontaneous in your affections, in your companionship, in your playfulness, and then keep it up. And you'll find that everything gets better. Is Terry on the line? Hello, Terry. I know all you guys are thinking, where's the Elohim? Why is he talking so much? Terry probably forgot her cell phone in her office or something. Terry? Let's see if I unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
You guys can hear all the background noise. Terry, are you on this line? Hello, Terry. Okay.
All callers are muted.
Okay. Well, when you get into flow, you attract the energy of other people. People look towards you. You have new friends, new opportunity, new job opportunity. You know, what happens when people get low on money and everything is difficult? They go into high anxiety. Now, do you think someone wants to hire somebody that's got high anxiety? Probably not. They want to hire someone that they feel good around. It's like, I remember when I used to sell things on weekends, sometimes I would be totally broke. And then I have to go out and face a crowd. And I had to convert myself, because if I held my anxiety, I couldn't sell anything. You know, people are all psychic. And you know, it's like they feel what you're going through. So even when there's a worst case scenario and you need money desperately, the anxiety is not going to bring the opportunity. You've got to walk in to the place where you can make money, and you've got to genuinely have affection for the people around that are involved in that. And this is a real exercise in detachment, because by all worldly standards, you should be going nuts and crazy. And if you are, you're going to have a hard time changing your circumstances. It's kind of like loving another person. When you feel that empty space and that desperateness and thinking that somebody's going to come forward to love you, and you walk around feeling desperate, guess what? Nobody wants you. And probably for good reason, because they're going to end up being you're going to think they can fix you, and they're going to be an enabler, and the energy won't stick, okay? Because you're looking at them to be your personal repair person, so to speak. And unless you have somebody that wants to do that, there are people that are like that, that love to repair people, or, you know, that love to be needed, makes them feel good. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's a person's nature. If you're needy and someone loves to be needed, you have at least the beginning of some kind of relationship. But people are very psychic. Everyone is psychic. Everyone's going to reflect everything, every thought, every feeling that you're going through. So when you go out in the world to make something happen and you're going through a lot of stuff, it's really hard to make it happen. And so the real value of the conference lines we're doing and all the connections we're doing is that we're creating a group that has no agenda, that cheers everybody up, so that if they go out in the world and want something, the chances are greatly increased that they might get it, because they're not looking so desperately. Even when the circumstance is... Did I hear a cough there? Was that Terry?
Yes, it is.
Where have you been? You playing hooky?
I forgot my phone today, so I rushed home.
That's what I told everybody. I said, I bet Terry forgot her phone.
Yes.
Well, they're getting tired of hearing me. Let's see, what time is it? It's 7:25. We have like another 25 minutes. And everyone is bitching always that I talk too much. And you know, one of the things about me talking is that I'm human. And I've got this connection with these guys. And it's playful. Part of it is like recognizing their energy in my space. Part of it is knowing how to not take it too serious. It is serious. It's a very serious thing, but you can't do it in the right way if you take it seriously, because then it becomes too scary, because the responsibility of it. All you who are listening, if you take it seriously, which you should, which I do, it's kind of like it's a duality. I take it seriously, but then I have to have fun while I'm taking it seriously. You know, you all have the opportunity to do something with this. This is such a rare thing we're doing on this planet, they tell me, and I think it is. And making it rare doesn't mean to exalt it. It means to use it. Take the advantage to use it. It's very unusual to have so much wise information available to you freely. And to have an introduction to a source of energy that's before the creation of this realm, that is outside of time, that is opening themselves to make a direct connection with you. And how do you work that? Well, some of you have not made that connection, and some of you have. If you have not made that connection, this is where you apply faith, because you have to hold and hang in there, connect with the people that are making the connections, let it rub off on you. But if you believe that it's here, even if you're not having the experience, then you can keep paying attention to where it is, so you have the experience. Don't feel excluded. Don't feel unworthy. Don't feel like, why is everyone making a connection? I'm not. Just hang in. And, you know, be friends with people that are making the connection. It's through each other that we build the energy. I know people that say, I can't do anything because I got to do it all myself. I can't do it with you. I got to do it myself. And years later, I still got to do it myself. And you know what? It's very hard to get out of your own reality box by yourself. And love is the energy that truly blends you with another being. And as soon as you blend with another being, it doesn't mean you have a relationship or having sex or even romance. It's just blending. We're doing it on this call, these calls all the time. When you blend with another being, you can't do that from the space of your own reality box. Every time you blend with another being, you are moving out of your reality box. You are expanding yourself in the cosmos. And you are learning how to do it. It's something that you have to learn by doing. You don't learn by sitting at home and saying, well, when is God going to strike me? When is this going to happen? And just, we need each other. Edgar Casey said, how did he say this? He raises himself up on the wings of those that he helped. He raises himself up on the wings of those he helped. So, you know, one of the things is getting motivated, because a lot of times when you're depressed or compressed, it's very hard to take the first step towards doing something which will release you. But, you know, I have found over and over again that once you take that step, things shift. Everything shifts. It's just the first step, when you think about it, is so resistant. I remember, Terry knows, I went to somebody's home on Thanksgiving, and I didn't want to go. I said, oh, God, I'm going to have a bunch of boring conversations. They're all going to ask me, how tall is the new Edgar Casey? Does he do readings? And da 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 da. What's he say about the earthquakes? And because that's happened to me, and it's really boring. And usually I've learned now to not even answer those questions. And I say, if you want to know what's important, ask me. But otherwise, forget it. And so I was trying to talk myself out of going to this dinner, and then I did go. And once I walked in the door, it's like every bit of anticipation I had just seemed silly, because it was just a beautiful group of people that I was connecting with. But I could have stayed home. I could have not gone. I've done it different times, not going to situations, because my own anxiety convinced me that I would be bored, or that I was wasting my time and I had more important things to do. Blah, blah, blah. I'm sure you all know that feeling. It's like that when you're in your own reality box, oftentimes you're compressed into your own compression, your own lack of self-worth, depression, all those things. And so you think, I'm not ready to face people. They're all going to judge me. So if I hide in here, at least no one sees. So those are the times to look for opportunities to be with other people. And there are always opportunities that you can create for yourself that will shift your energies and that will raise your frequency. And it's when you do those things, in my experience, that thing that you really wanted to happen, the big thing, seems to come in on the side. Somebody knows somebody, or somebody introduces you to somebody, and you meet a new person. You get a new job or a new girlfriend or boyfriend. But it doesn't happen when you're directly looking at it. It happens when you're having fun. And so That's part of being in the flow. And it's part of knowing your own pattern so that you force yourself up when you're feeling that depressed state. And are you in a good mood, Terry?
Oh, well, I'm starting to cheer up. It was kind of a grim day at work.
I'm giving the right talk, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, I've known Terry for a long, long time. We've been friends for a long time, and, you know, sometimes I tell people, and it's probably true, that I might not be alive if it wasn't for Terry, because these things I'm talking about, I'm not talking about them for my intellect. I've gone through it all, and I've had all these experiences, and and Terry has been a really, really good friend that's been there through thick and thin. And she's like that with people. Those of you that have gotten to know her personally in our group know what a gem she is. It's so special to have someone there that she's not doing something of high service. She doesn't even feel like she's alive. You know, I mean, she can't motivate herself very well for mundane things. And I guess that's one of the qualifications for being a saint, huh? But, you know, a saint is, we're all saints. In a sense, we all have the potential to be saints. A saint is just a religious word, but you don't have to be in a church and you don't have to have a plaque or a title or someone to say you're something. It's like living in the light, living in God's holy thoughts, L-I-G-H-T. So wherever you go, you are holding the energy for other people. Now, that doesn't happen right away. You know, it starts out as an idea and says, I'd like to do that. But when you say that, and when you really mean it, what's going to happen is your junk is going to surface. And you have to be prepared to experience your garbage to get into that place. You see, everybody has huge things of stuck energy in them. And, you know, the way it's like, people that are into alternative health always talk about healing crises, where things get worse before they get better. Well, it works that way with health when you are taking something that stimulates your stuff. And it works that way in this group, because this group has a huge overshadowing of light energy around it. And that overshadowing is going to surface some of the darkness in you. And some people don't have a lot. Some people just get it right away. But most of us, including me, have had to go through a lot of surfacing of old stuff, old patterns, old karma, depressions, whatever, and learning how to go through it and having a group that understands it so that when you are looking bad or when you're feeling bad, there's a support system. You don't have to feel bad about yourself because everyone else is going through it, or not now, they're going through it, they went through it, they understand it. It's like regular people who are like all putting on their good faces and walking around and going home and saying, nobody loves me, I'm suffering. Well, you know, they're not going to move through their stuff. They're stuck because they won't let it up. They're ashamed of it. They've always got to wear a coat and tie. They've always got to look good and hide their suffering. And you know what? You won't grow. You'll freeze it, and you'll go into your next life, and you'll be the same way, and the next life the same way. And until something provokes you to be willing to let it come up and release. And so that's one of the things in our group. Those of you that are out there in BBS land that have never participated, you know, you're missing a great opportunity to speed up your own evolution. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, I'm depressed, or I'm sick, or what am I going to tell those people? Forget it. Just jump in, because everyone has gone through that. You're not alone. And there's a lot of compassion here to help you move through that and get on the other side of it. Because if you just sit there by yourself and you don't process it, you're not going to change. And so there's an opportunity to grow, to change, to make a contribution. And all you got to do is pick up the phone, check out our conference calls, be a part of them, take some active role, help us transcribe tapes, you know, volunteer to do something. Because this is a mom-and-pop operation. I think that's a good way of saying it. This is only happening because of the people that make some kind of contribution to make it happen. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here. There's no big benefactors or sponsors. In fact, it's cost a lot of money to get it this far, and Terry is one of the people that has helped support it. If any of you want to make a contribution, go to donationbox.net. But don't give it out of guilt. Don't give it out of even anything more than realizing that you're making a contribution is going to make, you're going to be responsible for this reaching more people. And you can sit there and you can receive the energy back knowing that you've done that. And that's one easy way, even if it's just a tiny amount of money. It doesn't have to be a lot. On that page, you can donate $2. Do it and let it go and see how it feels. But do it with your heart. Don't do it not with your heart. Do it with your heart so that you move into the oneness of what we're creating and you become part of the creation of it and you become responsible for someone else who might tap into this and suddenly it changes you. Just feeling that this is not my group, this is our group, and those people that are, you know, this is my phone call, and I talk all through it, but those people that have been working with this, they come up with ideas, they do things, you know, they do things on their own, and as long as I feel there's no negative intent, it doesn't matter. We're just using this connection, and it is a connection with, what I said, nonlinear sources in other realms that are benevolent, that are willing to help us. It's a connection that you can own for yourself, you can participate in it, and you can help spread it. But it's not spreading a belief system. It's spreading loving energy. It's spreading care and learning how to hold love and care. And 741, 751, I better, Terry? Are you relaxed?
Pretty much.
This is like George Burns and Gracie Allen with the Elohim thrown. Well, let's call in the light. Maybe we'll have a little conversation with them, okay?
All right.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on the line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and to the center of the earth. Do you guys notice when I leave spaces how the energy flows into the space? That's nonlinear. That is multidimensional energy. That is these group soul energies flowing into your space, being around you. Remember how it feels. Recreate it when you're not on the line. Or what some people do is they pick up the line and they listen to the call and they recreate it. You know, you'll find that you can listen to a call like this over and over again, not because of how brilliant whatever I'm saying is, but because the energy is on the call. And when you move into your depression or your withdrawal or your unworthiness, and you're about to do something that requires you to have a different energy, listen to one of these calls and then do it. It may change your whole motivation. So there we go. I'm talking again. Do we have a source that'd like to talk to us?
Yes.
Could you share?
This is Fra Ohn.
Thank you for being here. Is there anything you'd like to share with our group related to the kinds of stuff we're talking about?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We notice as we move into shared space with each and every one of you on the line, there is a joy and a gladdening of our energy as it intersects in a fond hello with your energy. It is the same with depression, as Wynn was speaking, in moving out of your shell into a situation where you can share communication and energy with another individual in a healthy, communicative way, you begin to cheer up as the energies intersect between individuals. We observe that as we come into your realm, we feel the light. It is a blazing light that we feel, and as it intersects Terry's matrix, for instance, we feel a warmth. We are pleased to be with you today, and although many or some of you may not be able to feel what we are talking about because it is a very high frequency, do not feel left out, because we are there sending you love light. Do you have questions?
Well, as always, I want to be able to create information that people can use practically so that they can lift their vibration. And I was talking to my friend, and we were talking about how in one of the early channelings with the Elohim, there was an understanding of, like, how an Elohim soul could create a hologram as long as they intended it, and then as soon as they stopped intending it, it would go away. But when two Elohim beings would create a hologram jointly, now both of them could take a little break and the hologram could still persist. And that somehow or another, that idea of groups creating holograms and holding them was the beginning of the physical realm. And in a sense, my idea is that we are all holding this hologram of this reality system together, but we forgot, most of us have forgotten, that we're part of the holding of it together, and we're stuck in it. So if we want to get unstuck, we have to start creating with each other, holding a hologram that's above this reality, and hold it with persistence so that it pulls the reality up into a higher dimension. Now, that's my way of looking at it or understanding it. And I thought I'd like your comment on that. Do I have that correct in some way?
When you have inner walking holograms, then geometrics can be brought forth, and the geometrics are much like a foundation of a building. As they interlock and make these geometries, they hold in place the concepts of the original thought of the hologram. It is something like if one was going to build a wall, they would then buy some cement mix and add water. Without the combination of the cement mix, sand, and the water, it would then crumble as a powder and fall apart and not create the proper order, but with the proper...